You are welcome to Faith to Faith broadcast. Enjoy the dynamic teaching ministry of Pastor Tibby Peters, the President of Renaissance Assembly Incorporated. This message will take you from where you are to where you ought to be.
Taking the message of faith around the world by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hear the call. Seize the moment. Fight the fight. See the vision. Seize the moment. Take your place. Fulfill the task. Seize the moment. Finish the course. All things are yours. All things are possible. Tarry not. This is the appointed time. These are your inheritance moments. Time for new beginnings, multiple accomplishments, and everlasting harvest. Keep your clouds full of rain. Let it rain. Take the good news everywhere, in season and out of season. Extend, expand, and establish. Hold on. Then rise. Did you hear that? Hold on. Extend, expand, and establish. I thought it was finished. He said, after that, then rise, shine, and reign. Let Christ be Lord to you. Let Christ be Lord through you. You will hear good news and see good things. Welcome to good things.
Let's just address a few things here. Success in life. I just want to share with you three key things. Amen. Three key things I just want to share with you. The first thing I want to establish here is that God never designed the believer to fail. Praise the Lord. Hello. If you look at the entire arrangement that was made for the child of God, his sins were forgiven. The life of God was put in his spirit. The Spirit of God was given to him. The Word of God is made available to him. Then he's put in a company of other believers and given a pastor. Does that look like somebody that you want to fail? No, I'm asking you a question. What I'm saying, in essence, is that there's so much investment that has been made in the life of the believer that makes you know that God does not want the believer to fail. Now, let me start with 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. In 1 Timothy 4, 8, it said, bodily exercise is profit little. That's what it says. But godliness... This scripture, you know, it is a very important scripture in the entire New Testament. Because it touches on something that some group of people might make look like a trivial issue. Do you know we have different sets of believers? There is a set that believes that there's nothing in this world. Everything that matters is in the beyond, the world beyond, in eternity. And then there's another group that believes that everything is here. Amen. While the first group is more concerned about the hope, their eternal hope, the other group is materialistic.
But the scripture teaches both.
Amen. And that's the scripture here. It says, godliness is profitable unto all things. Say all things. That means that I always substitute the word godliness for spirituality. Amen. Another way of putting it is to say spirituality is profitable unto all things. Meaning that this salvation you receive is supposed to profit you every which way. Let me use that language. Amen. In every way. What does profit mean? Profitable means that it's something that you got something out of. Hello. That means this salvation, you're supposed to get something out of it. Salvation does not only benefit God, it benefits you. So, spirituality in this sense is profitable unto all things. What does all things mean? It means it's profitable to your marital life. It's profitable to your career. It's profitable to your business. It's profitable to your health. It's profitable to your finances. Tell me. It's profitable to what? Different. Your academics as a student. It's profitable unto all things. Some folks want us to believe that there are aspects of a human life that God is not concerned about. How can that be true? How can that be true? If you see the problems Jesus solved when he walked the face of the earth, your problems are more serious than it. I always give the illustration. Jesus went for a wedding. Drink finished. He used his power to do drink. Hello? Is your problem not more serious than that? Hello? He didn't say, no, I don't use my powers for carnal things. He said, fill the water pots, draw water. And they saw a miracle. And the wine that the power of God produced, is eating this world, you know how to produce wine? Let God do wine for you. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody drank and said, wow. Where did you get this one from? Are you with me? Now, that is, it shows us the heart of God to man. Towards man, rather. Then you say, now, no, God is not interested in all those things. No, God is interested. What I'm trying to say is that God is interested in your success. That means God didn't want that wedding to flop. Are you listening to me? He didn't want it to flop. If not, what is there? Even me as pastor, if they came and met me, I said, wine has finished. Everybody go home now. We'll drink another day. Amen. But he didn't say that. He didn't talk down on what they were doing. Now, they didn't even mention the name of who was married. To make you understand. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not like, they didn't tell us, oh, one fallen, one angel, or one of the 24 elders. Are you understanding me? One kind of spiritual person. No. They didn't even bother mentioning. He said he went for a wedding in Cana of Galilee. They only mentioned the place. So likely, it's someone that maybe Mary was close to. They knew them. Say, Jesus, show us your powers. He was reluctant, remember? But that became the first miracle. The first recorded miracle. So if Jesus' first miracle was to address some petty need of an individual, doesn't it show you how God loves us? First miracle he did was in a wedding. Then we see Jesus using his powers again. to multiply bread. If as a pastor now, I bring bread and say, now, multiply! They'll say, look. We're talking about Nigeria's problem. Did Israel not have problem when Jesus was multiplying bread? Bring the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He blessed it, broke it, gave thanks, and it multiplied. Jesus was concerned about the people that had gathered. That if they go, they've been here for a long time, they're going to be hungry. Let them eat. Does that look like someone that is not concerned about your success? Then is it your marriage he doesn't want to work? Praise the Lord. Is it your business he doesn't want to work? Is it your career he doesn't want to work? I go back to where I started. That there's so much investment that has been made in you already. God doesn't want to lose. Amen. See, listen to me. The reason why you will succeed and you should succeed is that God doesn't want to lose. Have you not heard that statement? To whom much is given, much is expected, much is required. So much has been done for the believer in Christ. Do you know what it means for God to be tabernacled in you? The headquarters of God is not Jerusalem. It is your spirit. That means that God could answer another man from you. I'm just trying to establish that God wants you to succeed. So godliness, spirituality is profitable unto all things. I want you to go with that understanding. It's profitable unto all things. Say it. Say it is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Praise the Lord. The promise of the life that now is, meaning that here is profitable in this life. You know, a lot of times in the early days, in the body of Christ, every time they talked about eternal life, they always talked about it in the future. So it looked like eternal life was a promise that God had made to man. It was revelation that made us come to the place where we understood that eternal life has been given to us now. So I have eternal life now. Are we together? It's not something I'm going to have. So there's a promise for now. Listen, in this life, God wants you to be successful. Let me put it better. In this life, God wants you to win. Have you not read 1 John 5:4? Put it up. Whatsoever is born of God, did he say overcometh in heaven? He overcometh the world. Is this world he's talking about? And this is the victory that we overcome the world with. Our faith. People of God, your faith is for winning. Amen. Say, my faith is for winning. My faith is for succeeding. Very important. Now, for us to win here, if we don't win here, we cannot execute the agenda of God here. A defeated company cannot achieve their targets. No, they can't. A defeated group can't achieve. So if we're on this earth and expected to be failures and never do wells, and then God has a plan for us to execute, how will it be executed? The propagation of the gospel is not something weaklings can do. Did you hear me? The propagation of gospel is not something a weakling can do. It takes courage to push the agenda of heaven. It takes strength to push the agenda of the kingdom. It takes resources, hallelujah, to push the agenda of the kingdom. So if we just end up weaklings every day, when are we going to leave this world? This world is too hard for us. When we get to heaven at the marriage supper, all the saints shall gather. We will win here. That when the church is raptured, the rest of the world will be happy that they are gone. Oh, these people, they oppressed us. They bought all our nightclubs and turned it to a church. Oh, thank God they have gone. It's the glorious church that will be raptured. Not a shamed church. No. A church that the gates of hell could not prevail against. So the three core things about success for the believer. Number one, convictions. Amen. Convictions. Everybody say convictions. Now, when we talk about convictions, I would love to give you a few scriptures. Because it might sound like just one word, but it's a very deep, deep statement. You can be a Christian and you don't really have convictions. You should. I'm going to read Luke chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1 to 4. My emphasis is verse 1, but I'll just read 1 to 4. And then I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3:14. Amen. What we mean by convictions, we're talking about strong persuasions. We're talking about a state of being convinced. We're talking about firmly held beliefs. Did you hear me? Strong persuasion. Firmly held beliefs. A state of being convinced. Glory to God. Let me read to you. He said, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of what? Of those things which are most surely believed amongst us. Meaning that there are things that are most surely believed amongst us. Let me read down. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of what? Of all things from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Last one. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Meaning that some of you here, you don't know the certainty of the things you've been instructed in. So somebody will just say something and you're thrown off balance. This generation, we must develop convictions. Scriptural convictions. Convictions that will affect your business. Convictions that affect your marital life. Convictions that affect you in the political space. If there are no convictions, anything will just shake you. So somebody will just wake up one day and come up with a new philosophy and you will adopt it. Because there are no firmly held beliefs. There are no strong persuasions. If you read about people like Abraham, the Bible says, being fully persuaded. That means that all of those patriarchs were people of strong persuasions. Do you know the kind of statement Abraham made at one point? He had just helped to deliver his nephew, Lot. And then the kings that he helped said, thank you for helping us. Don't worry. Give us our women and children. You can take all the, because we've already lost it. So just take it. Look at the statement of Abraham. He said, I won't even take a shoelace from you. So that you will not say, you have made Abraham rich. That means that Abraham believes that his wealth is going to come from God. He had a conviction about wealth. What convictions have you developed? I wrote something down years ago. I said some people have strong convictions about weak issues. And then they have weak convictions about strong issues. Did you hear me? So, I cannot. I don't have to put Gary on the right, though. Never. I always put the Gary on the left hand. The soup has to be on the left, on the right. So what will now happen? And it's a conviction. You quarreled because they put the Gary on the right. Amen. How I wish you would have a conviction like that. Something as strong as that concerning the fact that you will never ever live a day without prayer. Amen. You will never ever allow a day go by without feeding your spirit with the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying about convictions? Listen. Actions that you take, whether you are conscious of them or not, there's a conviction driving them. You know men that used to beat their wives? You know them? You've heard about them? It's because they believe that nothing will happen. Hello? Because some of those men, they don't used to... He said it's his temper. His temper has not made him slap another man. It's always his wife. In that place of work, is even a woman that is his boss. He has not slapped her yet. There's a conviction negatively that makes him behave like that. Are you with me? So, listen. You can reprogram your life by developing new convictions. Amen. Did you hear me? Yeah. And one of the reasons why God wants us to read his word is so that we can meditate. Meditation means that you are pondering over what he said enough for it to influence how you think. Amen. Some of you have convictions, personal convictions about yourself that have not helped you. I once met a lady, and she just said to me one day, she said, when they were telling people to come, she made this, was making a statement, she now said, we are not fine people. We are one of the ugly people. And so it shocked me that she thought she was ugly. And I know ugly. Amen. I know ugly. Amen. And she's not ugly. But she thinks she's ugly. That means a conviction. So if you are just saying, no, you are not ugly. She said, you are just saying because you don't want to hurt my feelings. I know I'm ugly. It's a conviction. It's a conviction. If she doesn't stay with God's word to change that, it begins to affect her. She will have a complex everywhere she goes. Where she's supposed to speak, she won't have the confidence to speak. One of the things about understanding righteousness is that righteousness gives you a mindset that means that you're not waiting for any other thing to qualify you. Are you listening to me? That God has qualified you. You don't need any extra validation to qualify you. Lift your hand. Say in the name of Jesus. I choose to develop strong convictions about important issues. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 3:14. Let me just read it. If I stop our convictions, it should be okay. Let me read it. It says there, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, what are things you are assured of? You are assured of it. Somebody wake up one day and tell you that they've been trying. It's not today. So no. Jesus is not the Son of God. The Bible is not true. Hello. If you have not been assured of it, you know what's going to happen? You begin to say, make a reason this thing. Amen. Continue in the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of. What have you learned since you received Jesus? What have you been assured of? If you're not assured of it, go and get assured. That assurance in the early days, they used to talk about what they call assurance of salvation. How many of you have heard it before? We don't use those languages again. And since we don't use this language again, that's why they have told you that there is no heaven. I respect the fact that, you know, the old timers used to say some things. A preacher would just come after, glory to God, glory to God. And then they say, heaven is real, hell is real. They used to say it. I grew up around people that always said it. I said, they'll be saying it. Now, what are they talking? I see somebody's arguing with them. Now, I understand that they didn't know that one day somebody will come and say, heaven is in your mind. So, again, I'm saying to you, heaven is real. Hell is real. Listen, okay, let's say it better. Are you real? Are you in your mind or you are real? Heaven is more real than you. Hellfire is more real than you. Real. Your own real came out of that real. Because the supernatural realm is more real than the natural realm. Are you listening to me? So, we need pastors, leaders. You are a cell leader. You are raising children. You must help them develop scriptural convictions. It's not just about having an opinion. No. They must have truth presented, amen, with clarity. Stop telling them just David and Goliath story in children's church. David killed Goliath. Because now the cartoons are not telling them David and Goliath story. The cartoon is telling them you are a she-he. And the cartoon is telling them there are many genders. It's not only she and he, there is she, ho, ho, ha, ha, he, 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 before I get to he. And he didn't check whether they are children. Why are you bothered? Say, no, I don't want to really share about redemption. Redemption is a big, my brother, tell them redemption. Share blood with them. Death, burial, resurrection. Let conviction be developed. Believers must not make light of the need to develop convictions. That's where everything in the believer's life begins. So, but in this world that we live in, after you develop the right convictions, develop convictions is not a once and for all thing. It's a consistent and a continuous practice in your faith. Amen. As you grow, you discover that, oh, I need to build convictions about this area. The truth is that faith is a conviction. Are you with me? So if you have faith for healing, it actually means you have conviction for healing. Hallelujah. You have scriptural convictions about healing. That's what it means to have faith. So we must understand that in our career, our academic life, everything that we do, it is the convictions we've developed that determines what we experience. But some Christians stop at spiritualizing alone. The believer lives in two worlds. We live in the spirit realm and we live in the physical realm. Is that not so? We live in the invisible realm. We also live in the visible realm. Now, for the things you believe in that are intangible to materialize, there are other factors that matter. So the second core thing is habits. Amen. Habits. Everybody say habits. And that's where many of God's children miss it. Some believers have not understood that your convictions will find expression when you have a habit around it. Oh, you believe in prayer. That prayer is very important. But have you formed a praying habit? You believe that scriptures, I'm supposed to read the scriptures. Do you know the scriptures are very important? It's food for my spirit. Have you created a habit, developed a habit around the reading of your Bible? Now, whether it's about your Christian, about your relationship with God or about your relationship with the world, the habits you have will determine whether anyone will succeed. Amen. So you can be a Christian, you love God, God loves you, amen. But you are failing at work. You might be shouting in the house, in the name of Jesus, I'm the head and not the tail in my office. But every time when they do appraisals, you are the last. The next thing to check is, what are the habits at work? Do I have poor work ethics? Amen. Are you with me? That will not allow me shine at the place of work. Do you know that some people that the way they were raised, they know how to be busy about what is not important. It's a bad habit. They can be so busy about what is not important that they don't actually have time for what is really important. Imagine you woke up this morning and you're supposed to be preparing to come out to meet the 9 a.m. Then suddenly you saw an ant on your window. You say, where are they coming from? Let me research it. You start following the ants. You now go on Google. Ant. A-N-T. What kind of ant is this? 30 minutes gone. Now, when you find out about that ant, will you be paid? That research, what value is it going to add to your life? Now, but it's robbing you of something you really came for. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I learned that for me as an individual, I've seen my kind of person. My mind is curious. So, I could start reading something I didn't plan to read. So there are habits you form around you to help you stay in line. Glory to God. You know, in the early years when I would see devotionals, I have 2 more minutes. You see devotionals, and people who read a devotional, you know, I was just like, this portion is too small. So I could pick a devotional and read the whole book in that one morning. Amen. But that's not what I plan to do. Praise the Lord. So you now have to form habits that help you stay with what you are supposed to read. So for many years, I've not touched any, non-fiction? Fictional books, novels. Fiction. No. What? Why should I be reading something that didn't happen? Amen. Amen. I used to read a lot of those things. But now, the things I have to read, they are more than the time I have to read them. Praise the Lord. So, I have to form a habit around reading what is really important. Praise the Lord. So, I read every day. Every day. Before you see my face, I've read. But it's a habit developed. habit. One of the reasons why I migrated from paper to digital was to give me the opportunity to be able to read on the go everywhere. But it has a side effect, so light every day. But the point is this, reading is a habit. Now, that's not the only habit. What I'm saying in essence is that if you're going to succeed in this life, you must develop habits consciously. Now, whether you like it or not, humans are creatures of habits. We're all creatures of habit. We all have habits. What we don't know is that if that habit is helpful to you or is harmful to you is what we don't know. But you have a habit. Some of you, your sleeping habits will never allow you blow. Amen. It will never allow you blow. So, habits, call for success. And the church needs to be taught. Believers need to be taught that something will not just happen. That you have to develop habits. So you look through the Bible characters, they had habits around their lives. There's this portion of scripture that said that Abraham went to the place where he stood before the Lord. That means he had a place he used to go and stand before the Lord. The Bible told us about Daniel that he prayed 3 times. Those are habits. Ask your neighbor, what are your spiritual habits? What are your success habits? Amen. So, as you in this convention, sit down. Now, some of you now say, okay, from today now, you now write 12 habits you want. You know, go do them. Start with one. Amen. One habit. Get it. One curtain. One. In my teenage years, one of the habits I formed was, I will never put food in my mouth if I have not put food in my spirit. I will never put food in my mouth if I've not put food in my spirit. So there are times where I'll go, I've already carried the habits. And over the years, you keep forming habits. If you're a business person, what are the habits around your finances? What are the habits around your finances? As you collect, you blow. You collect, you blow. Well, yes, you are believing God for wealth. No saving, nothing. Are you with me? So we will develop habits. Amen. Amen. And then the last one, skills. Everybody say skills. For success in this life, convictions, habits, skills. Amen. Now, skill is one thing that nobody can take from you. Amen. And I don't know how we skipped that in the Bible. Now, do you think, how did David kill Goliath? Amen. First, we could see David had convictions. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That's a talk speaking from conviction. Then we saw that David was already someone that if you give him some, if he gets concerned about something, he follows it to the end. Amen. We could see his personality. It was an assignment there. And he's not someone that, he had the concerns of his nation at heart. What would they do to the guy that? Then he said, look. There was a time a lion came against the flock. There's a time a bear came against the flock. This is how I did it. That means he had some skill. Amen. Then we saw that he took 5 smooth stones. You think that first, that stone, the first person he was throwing stones at was Goliath? No. He has been doing target practice. Maybe first with lizards. Got it. Are you understand what I'm saying? Bullseye. Target practice until he was so skilled that he was sure that I won't miss him. The first stone, not the 5th stone, no. The first stone won't miss him. Because imagine that he threw the first one. It didn't hit him. Threw the second one. They would catch him before he would throw the fifth one. One, and not just precision, but the force of that stone that will kill a man instantly. Skill. You know, people that box, they can weigh their punch. You understand that? So there are some people that might not be fast, but their punch is heavy. So if he hits you, they will say, dodge it. Just dodge it. That's what. Because if he hits you, you will not know what is happening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now, if they want to help you develop that kind of weight of your punch, there are certain exercises you have to go through. Are you with me? Okay, so boxing itself is a skill. It's not about just who is strongest. You might be stronger than somebody, the person will win you in boxing. You agree? Okay, so now we see David was able to slay Goliath because of his skill. And that was not the... And David was multi-skilled. Part of what kept him in the king's palace to learn how to be a king was another skill. Amen. Another skill. He could play the harp. They say, we don't know what's worrying our king. Sometimes you just stay and fall down. Amen. So, we don't know what's worrying him. So, we have brought somebody that will be playing for him. Amen. Anytime that thing comes to him. Amen. We'll play for him and he'll be normal. You think he was there and playing the wrong key? Boom, 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 boom. Say, what's wrong with this guy? Come, come. He shoots him. A king that's already depressed. Are you understand what I'm saying? Do you think you have patience for nonsense? But when that guy starts playing, he starts calming down. Yes, yes, he becomes okay. It's not the type you say, well, listen to the lyrics, don't forget about the voice. No, 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 no. It's not listen to the lyrics, forget about the voice. Skill. This year, develop skills. Every year of your life, develop skills. And let me share this with you. Develop skills that are needed globally. Globally. Stop developing local skills. The skill you have, you only a whipper. Only people know whipper need it. You don't know a whipper. Okay, let me say another one. Uromi. Develop global skills. If you are removed from here and dropped in Paris, somebody will need that skill in you. If they take you to Afghanistan, someone will need that skill in you. Are you going to do that? God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. Please, you can reach us via WhatsApp on 090-849-90878. You can also send us a message on info@faith2faithonline.org. For more messages, log on to our 24-hour radio platform at www.faith2faithradio.org. Join us this Sunday at Renaissance Assembly for a live transforming experience at Plot 5, Sania Batch Road, GRE Phase 3, Port Harcourt. First service, 8:30 a.m. and second service, 10:30 a.m. Renaissance Assembly, the church of the moment and the church of the future. God bless you. Generation in the